Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. I am your host, Ken Seymour. Doing things solo this week as our co-host, Richard Geiger, is enjoying some well-deserved vacation time down south, hopefully avoiding all of the nasty weather and getting all of the fantastic sunshine. This week, we are coming back to a recurring segment that we did for years, really, on this channel, but we caught up to modern day a couple of years ago, so it is now something that we only do once a year. And of course, I'm talking about the history of comics in movies. We were doing the series to talk about every film ever based on a comic strip or a comic book, going back all the way to the late 1800s. We got through all of them. And it was really interesting. Now, of course, we did some select exclusions. We didn't do anything, for the most part, with any sort of animation involved. This was all live-action adaptations, and we kept it primarily to those sources that were in American origins. So we didn't do any of the anime stories that might come out of the East, or even things from across the pond in England or Spain. Generally, we kept it just to kind of the local stuff. So we're going to kind of go with that vein. And we're going to be talking about the year 2024. It feels like it was so long ago. It was actually a pretty light year for comic book films. A lot of times we would talk about how there seemed to be just a growing presence of these films every year. And then now it's starting to recede a little bit, and I have mixed feelings about that. We all knew it was going to be coming, but maybe that just means that we're going to get more high-quality films rather than just more films in general. But 2024 was still 8 films based on comic books, so not too shabby. Comic books and graphic novels, as it were. We're going to do this in chronological order in terms of when it was released. We started in the early part of 2024 with the film Madame Web, where dozens of people were excited at its premiere. If you look on IMDb, its star rating is fairly low, which makes me a little sad. We actually reviewed this film, and it suffered the same problem that all of the Sony properties did, in the sense they're trying to build a Spider-Man world with no Spider-Man in it. But Madame Web was originally a character that was created in 1980, first appearance in The Amazing Spider-Man, created by the amazing Dennis O'Neill and John Romita Jr., kind of an ally of Spider-Man over the years. The version that's in the film is a lot different than the version that was in the comic books. I have to say this about the film. The film has a really solid cast to it. Has a lot of people that are worth watching generally. In terms of visuals, it's not awful. Kind of that sort of thing. You just have to, if you're a comic book fan, step back and forget the fact that this was this was based in a world where there should be a Spider-Man, but somehow isn't. This is something that you can actually see streaming on Netflix as we speak. Is it something that you should watch on Netflix? Well, I'm going to leave that one up to you. I don't feel like my time was robbed of me when I went to see it in the theaters, but at the same time, it wasn't amazing either. So, not too shabby. We're going to be going through this in a rapid succession since it's just me, and I don't know how much witty repartee I have to say about any of these individual films. But, I had hopes because, they were bringing in some of the other potential characters that I thought was pretty neat. And they had the setup for Ben and Mary Parker. So, maybe eventually a Spider-Man, but nothing. Next in 2024, we have to jump forward all the way to July. So early part of the year, not a whole lot going on. But once we hit about mid-year, we started getting a little more to take a look at based on comic books. But maybe the best of the group came out in July. That was Deadpool and Wolverine, the third installment in the Deadpool series. Deadpool being a character that by now most people know, but I'll go ahead and mentioning that he first appeared in The New Mutants in 1991, created by Rob Liefeld, for those that don't know that by now. And he had a little help on the creation process, of course. But I was about to say who it was, and I just had a mental moment. Fabian Nicieza. I always mispronounce his name, and I feel terrible about it because the dude, super cool. But anyway, the whole series was excellent, and the newest version, the newest installment, I should say, just fantastic. The number of characters, the people they got to do, the portrayals, the jokes that they made, just there really was no downside. It was a fantastic film. That just kind of blew away the competition. It wasn't even close. It was a lot of fun. This one you should definitely watch, and you can find it on Disney very easily. Give it a glance if you haven't seen it yet. Of course, if you haven't seen any of them, watching them in order, it gives you a richer viewing experience, but isn't exactly necessary to watch this film. They make them pretty consumable on their own. But just, man, getting a chance to see Wesley Snipes' Blade again, that on its own was just, yes, this made the whole film worth it, even if nothing else happened. But there are so many of those things where I could have said that about just one other thing that happened. It's like, yep, that made it worth it too. Great film. Watch it multiple times. You should definitely see it. In August, we follow that up with a kind of a retelling of a film that's already been released based on a comic book that had several different sequels that didn't measure up to the original. and so they figured it's time to start the series over again. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I mean, there are those of us that have a soft spot for the original just because of who was cast in it and the fact that he died in the production. I'm talking, of course, about the Crow, Brandon Lee, in the original that died. But, you know, the casting of this particular film, if you're going to have somebody be the Crow, choosing Bill Skarsgård, yeah, I can see that. That's a pretty solid casting. FKA Twigs as Shelley, okay. I mean, it's the whole group looks pretty solid. This is one I haven't seen yet, unfortunately. I've been a little busy and just haven't quite gotten there. It did not get the best ratings. It still has a less than 50% on the IMDb scale anyway. And there could be multiple reasons for that. It could be that people just still have a soft spot for the original. It could be that the new version is just awful. I don't know. Stylistically speaking, just from the stuff that I've seen, it looks pretty decent. So I'm going to have to give it a shot, especially since I love the source material. If you're not familiar with The Crow, first appearance was in Caliber Presents in January of 1989. This was a character that you did not see in the big ones. You're not going to see it in Marvel or in DC. This is kind of a smaller press character created by James O'Barr. But yeah, so it's a very, very dark world and a really interesting. And the art style from the comics, oh, so pretty, so pretty. And kind of seeing that envisioned in live action is kind of fun. So, you know, there is that. We move on a little bit in, that one was released in August. We move on to October, the beginning of October. We got Joker Folie Deux, the second in the Joker series. The original Joker was amazing. This one, seems to have a bit of a middling review, and is also it's not a standard film. They wanted to do it as a musical. So this is one I've been putting off watching. I want to see it. I do, because I really liked what they did with the character originally. It's just, I feel like if I didn't like it, it would somehow tarnish the original film. That's probably a ridiculous thought process. I just need to watch it anyway because, you know, give it a fair shot. And I like Lady Gaga, and I love Steve Coogan, and it's got Zazie Beetz, and it's got, again, just a fantastic casting, and it seems to maintain at least some of the visual presence of the original. Just not sure what to make of the whole musical side of things. Now, the Joker character was originally created back in 1940, first appearance in The Legend of the Batman, who he is and how he came to be the Joker. So he's been around for a long time, of course, created by Bill Finger, Bob Kane, and Jerry Robinson. This is a really rich character. And normally, I would probably be talking about why would you create a Joker in a movie that doesn't have the Batman, but at least in the original, it didn't matter. And it was still clearly in that world and had enough of all the other stuff in it that it still worked. Should you watch this? I don't know. I can't really give you good advice on this one because I haven't seen it yet, but I'm eventually going to break down and watch it myself. Now, in October, we actually had three different comic book films come out. The second one that came out towards the middle was a new Hellboy release. Now, the original Hellboy I had a soft spot for, and then when they kind of restarted the Hellboy series, I wasn't super impressed. And this has a different cast again. So it's a little, if you look at it, it's a little disconcerting because, you know, it's just, you know, it changes for a third time. Who knows? I did not even realize this was released in 2024. I missed this one completely, but you know, you never know. It could be pretty decent. The cast is a lot of people, for the most part, that I don't know. So that is not necessarily a bad thing. Kind of trying to take it from a fresh kind of direction could be good. The Hellboy character is a lot of fun. Originally created back, or his first appearance, I should say, back in 1993 in Dime Press. But it's Mike Mignola. His art style for this, again, in the comics is so good. It's just pretty. It's just kind of, in some ways, absurd and silly, which just works for something that's in such a dark kind of a universe to begin with. So it's the original two films were great. The third film, so who knows if this is any good, but, you know, give it a shot because the source material is super solid. So it might come through just fine. Then we've got Venom the Last Dance that came out at the end of October. Again, another of those Sony properties based in a Spider-Man universe where there is no Spider-Man, at least not that they're working with. It's just another absurdity. Now, the funny thing is, I hated the first Venom, and I didn't really like the second one much, but I liked it better. And this is, you know, kind of following the same trend. I like the third one the best of the three. Is it good? I don't know if I'd go that far. But, you know, some decent visuals. And, of course, you get to see Tom Hardy kind of go around and talk to himself, which is always entertaining. The Venom character has been around a long time. Character was originally created back in 1984, and of course it was created by Todd McFarlane, David Michelinie, and Mike Zeck, and has gone through a lot of changes over the years. And it's kind of strange. It feels in some ways like they do some fun stuff with the character. but it's still at the same time just something's, it just doesn't work right without Spider-Man. He's just not, without that base, that starting point, it just doesn't work. He might as well just call it something else. Now, one of the interesting ones that came out in 2024 in November was a film called Here. Now, Here was based on a graphic novel created by Richard McGuire in 2014. And it's a really interesting concept piece. And, you know, it's one of those where you wouldn't expect that the film was based on a comic or a graphic novel in the first place. But it's got such a ridiculous starting point. I mean, you've got Robert Zemeckis directing this, along with putting Tom Hanks and Robin Wright in it. It's like right there, that's just a slam dunk. And you put some Paul Bettany in it and some Kelly Riley, and, you know, just it looks like it could be really good. This is just another one that flew under my radar, and I definitely have to watch this. It looks like it got okay reviews. I'm going to wager that probably has something to do with the non-traditional storytelling style. It sounds like they tried to maintain that from the original source material, which not everybody enjoys. But, you know, if it were for me, that I 100% love that. Anything that can keep me guessing on a story is good. If you can do it in a non-traditional way, that will keep me surprised for a longer period of time, which I really appreciate. So that's kind of a nice thing. It looks like something that's definitely worth watching. And then we finish out the year in December with Kraven the Hunter. Kraven the Hunter, I have not watched yet. Kraven is currently on Netflix. So if you want to see it, this is another one I'm kind of torn on. I'm going to be watching it soon. I really like Aaron Taylor-Johnson, and I really love the Kraven character. But again, it's a Sony property that's trying to deal with Spider-Man characters with no Spider-Man, and that generally does just not go over very well. It's got a kind of a middling rating on the IMDb scale, which makes me sad. But the Kraven character was created back in 1964, and it was a Steve Ditko and Stan Lee creation. So many good storylines. I don't know if this story is loosely based in any of them. I mean, the visuals look nice. It's really hard to get behind something like this where they just pull out the rug out from under where it's supposed to come from. But I'm definitely going to give it a chance because, like I said, I'm a huge fan of Aaron Taylor Johnson. And, I mean, you get Russell Crowe in there too. It's like, come on, it's hard to go wrong with those two. At least maybe it'll be a decent action movie, if nothing else. But yeah, that's kind of what it is. That's what 2024 was. Not a whole lot to it. And, several Sony properties. The last gasp of the Sonyverse. Thankfully, they have learned their lesson, hopefully, and will just, if they're going to do anything Spider-Man related, maybe they'll do it with Spider-Man in it. But what do you think, folks? Did you watch any of these films? Did you keep up with the release schedule? There's so many comic book films now, it's kind of hard to watch all of them, but, you know, if you can get about half of them in a year, you're doing pretty solid. Next week we'll be coming back, of course. Richard will be back, and we will have some really fun stuff lined up. I've got some more movie reviews, some top tens coming. We've got some interviews in the works. We've got a lot of stuff coming, so we're excited to keep coming up with new stuff for you. Hopefully you are enjoying it as much as we are. But until next time, stay safe, watch some more films, have fun.